This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The special teams coach being out is the first domino to fall.
Let's hope.
We'll find out.
Let's hope. We can't get rid of enough of them, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if we're not going to get rid of Jake, can we at least get rid of everybody else?
But did he want to leave? He wanted to leave, didn't he?
Not Weka? I think so.
Apparently.
Well, they didn't fire him.
No, but they gave him permission to look around. Look, the bottom line is these coaches, they see the writing on the wall. The culture's mediocre.
In fact,
there is no culture. A lot of people have been talking about that in the last couple
of days. Still a lateral move.
Yeah, but it's out of here. Yeah, it's an upward move.
Yeah, I would argue upward move,
now,
too.
The problem is he's going to a place that's very shaky, too.
Although they were the Super Bowl.
Dan Quinn has one.
They almost blew him out.
Dan Quinn has one more bad year. He's out.
Yeah, exactly.
That Super Bowl is ancient history.
Exactly.
I'd rather go somewhere that has Matt Ryan than potentially Colt McCoy.
I agree. True. Well, that's why I left.
Yeah. True, and I thought that they were going to actually make a change after how bad season they had.
The Atlanta Falcons are stable.
Right.
Because he's been here. Well, right. I could easily see the Falcons being
a
playoff power next year.
They could bounce back, sure. Yeah.
Happens every year.
Sure,
but it is
up.
Dicey. It is dicey. It's not like he's going, you know, to somebody that at the
peak
of their powers.
The NFL is just dicey. It's a dicey proposition.
Yeah. So real quick, I want to give you a mouse update. I think as of yesterday, did I say I had slaughtered 11 mice? That's the number.
Yep.
And I think I had one more in the afternoon. Anyway, I got to the point where I was texting with my wife, and I said, you know, I'm actually starting to feel bad. I'm like the mice exterminator. I'm just crushing these guys. And I have to go in there and, you know, take them out of their traps, drop them in the trash. I put them in a little separate bag.
All they want is to stay warm.
They're just trying to stay warm and eat.
Warm.
And here I am just picking them off one at a time. Often two at a time.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, if you're starting to feel bad, you could do what someone at my work is doing.
Oh.
All right. Listen to what these people are doing. They're doing a catch and release thing with their mice. Okay.
Okay.
So they're catching. I don't even know how you do that. I don't know if it's like a glue trap or if it's some sort of special box that traps them in.
I mean, a glue trap just pummels them because they can't move. They can't get any food and they just starve to death.
Right. Right. So, I know, I get it. Was that three blind mice?
Yeah.
Whatever. So, I don't know whatever the catch-and-release program is for the mouse. I don't know, some sort of special box or whatever.
Right.
But they're catching the mouse, and then they're releasing the mouse.
Where? Like in a field somewhere?
I don't know. I guess they were doing it at their house or something,
okay.
Right? And then they kept thinking,
right back in.
They kept thinking that they were catching the same mouse all over, right? They didn't know. So, they painted one of the toenails. And sure enough, they were... Can you imagine the
work?
Yeah, well, all that's going in
this. They actually care?
Yeah, they cared. So they painted the toenail, and next day, boom, they're catching the same mouse.
Right. Shocker.
So the guy drove to Germantown.
And just let him out.
And let the mouse loose in the wild.
It didn't find its way back to the house, did it?
I don't think it did.
Just because he didn't want to kill him. He felt bad killing him.
Yes, and then she said, you could always do that. I said, no, I'm sorry. I'm good being the killer.
Yeah.
I'm good being the killer. I can't see myself painting the toenails.
Do you know
each
how much
one,
you have to pay me to paint a toenail? Touch them. First of all, touch them.
Yeah.
And then paint a toenail and then drive them 45
it's
minutes.
It's a lot of work.
They're so gross.
They're the
worst. They really are gross. And the ones I was catching early on, they were pretty heavy, too. They got into something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think they got into some onions. They were crushing onions.
When they walked into your house?
No. They were crushing onions that we had under the sink.
Onions are strange. Sometimes I can cut an onion, no crying. Other times, like... The knife goes in twice when I start like cutting up an onion, just tears, just like streaming down my face.
Right.
I guess it depends on the strength of
the
onion.
I can't believe someone would do that.
Can you believe that?
No.
It's weird.
Someone that lives around here drove all the way up, like they drove to Germantown to drop off the mouse.
This is a neighbor of yours?
Not someone that works with my wife.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would never
so
do that.
So, I'll just continue to slaughter them. I've gone about 18 hours without getting one. So our whole plan is to go like 2 days without catching one, and then we'll plug the hole and then, you know, hopefully be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fear is we plug the hole, and then they're still milling around the house somewhere. You know,
oh, so, there's so many mice out there.
So, yeah, millions.
So I want
there's
to try
an
to,
army of them.
I want to kill them all before I plug the little hole that they're coming in.
So that was the mundane thing you had to do.
But
at your
you know
house
what? They can
yesterday
find a way in. Either
of course,
they'll find other ways. Way. They'll I mean, find they can, other weaknesses, other soft spots.
Can't they just go under a door crack?
Oh yeah.
Well, course, dude, the hole they're going through is near a pipe. It's about that big.
Yeah, those little mofos.
You know, it's like the size of a dime.
I don't know how they do it.
And they somehow they squeeze their fat bodies through there.
Won't cost you a dime
nightmare
to get into Evie's house.
Right.
Anyway. Food all over the house.
So you're dealing with that.
Real quick, yesterday, I'm getting ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest daughter, 15, she just cracks me up. She goes, Dad, did you know you can't crack an egg with your bare hand? She goes, you can't squeeze and break it. I said, really? She goes, watch. And it went everywhere. Egg yolk everywhere.
She got you with that joke?
Egg yolk everywhere.
She crushed it, not you. You weren't.
I didn't do it. She did it.
Right. Like in the kitchen?
Yeah, right in the kitchen. Egg yolk flew all over the place.
Did that drive you crazy?
Somebody told her this?
I don't know if she saw, probably YouTube
yeah,
or something
on
stupid
like
Instagram.
Like Impractical Jokers
it's
or
a,
something.
It's a joke thing that's going around. You're supposed to tell a person that you can't do it.
And
they squeeze
it
and it explodes everywhere.
Right. Well, she did it.
How
why
gullible
she
are
do
people?
It?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone
must,
she botched the joke.
Yeah, someone must have told her.
Gullible.
Very. I was like, what are you doing?
It's a perfectly good egg.
So
that
called,
egg probably cost 25 cents.
I called Luca, and Luca just sucked it all up off the floor.
Is that
raw
what he did?
Egg.
Oh, yeah.
Is that okay for a dog to get E. coli?
They crush eggs.
I think as long as a dog doesn't eat like a bunch of chocolate bars, dogs can eat basically anything.
They can.
Pretty much.
Huh.
I'm sure there are some exceptions.
I didn't have to clean the floor. I didn't have to clean
the
floor.
The dog is your mop?
Brilliant.
Yeah. She just licks it up.
That's so hurting.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Can I show you my body language yesterday when my daughter came to me and told me that one of the headlights was out on my Jeep Grand Cherokee? I went from this posture to, oh.
Why?
Because headlight, you have to go get that fixed or you're going to get pulled over. And I don't want my daughter getting pulled over. She's a brand new driver.
All right, but that's not a tough, that's actually a fix you can do.
No. I thought
this
I could
one
do
you
it
can't?
Because I was like, well, how am I going to do this? I'm not handy. I clearly suck at doing this. So I went, of course, went to YouTube.
Right.
And once I saw the video, I typed in replacing headlight 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Yeah. As soon as you saw it, you punched out.
I saw it, and it said I'd watched it a year ago. And I remembered the horror of trying to replace the headlight. So I said, this is finished. I'm driving it to Fletcher's BP in the O-Town. I'm going to let them do it.
Right.
And I was vindicated because two apprentice grease monkeys that were about 20 years old spent about 20 minutes.
10 times sillier than you.
Way sillier than me.
Right.
They actually know something about replacing everything. So they were out there in the cold while I was talking with my man. I think his name was Greg. I'm not 100% sure. Good dude.
Yeah.
Junk's listener. We were inside in the warmth while they were outside in the howling wind replacing my headlight. So thank you to them for saving me and doing that. I tipped them each 10 spot. I said, thanks for doing that.
Nice.
I couldn't have done it
perfect
in a billion, zillion years.
Perfectly appropriate tip.
I was wondering why you drove the Saturn this morning.
Yeah, I'm starting to drive the Beater because I want my daughter to have a better car to drive in.
Yeah. It's
a hurting Beater. It's 15 years old. Brett hated the color forest green, probably still hates it to this day, but it's fine. It gets me from point A to point B.
Got to put your kid in the safer
car. It is
car
a little embarrassing pulling up to the Homewood Suites, and I understand, but it's at 5:15 in the morning,
right?
So I don't really care that much. And by the way, speaking of Homewood Suites, I told Drab this yesterday. It is the new destination. If you're really desperate for a nice, clean, unpopulated bathroom, the bathroom on the second floor.
Oh, is that a good spot
of
to
do? Now I know I'm letting out a little trade secret here, but
where is it on the second floor?
It's on the second floor. You walk into the lobby, go up the steps.
It's a lot of effort, though. So if I have to deuce during a commercial break, you're suggesting I walk over to Homewood?
No,
I understand it's not convenient for you.
Yeah,
but I'm just letting these donks know.
He's a post-show donk.
Is your mic even working?
Is it working? Yeah. I've been there before.
Like yesterday, it was a little unsettled, so I was like, I don't feel like driving for 50 minutes being all unsettled, untim-settled, in the tum-tum.
So I just
went up there.
Took your shirt off.
Did my business. Took a shirt off. Got a cup of coffee on the way up. I felt like a new guy. It's a new man.
So that's your new spot.
It's my new go-to. And Drab T-shirt and Valdez. If you guys, AWOD, if you're ever in a pickle, if you're ever in a really bad spot,
right,
It's not. It's a good fallback.
I remember in college, I used to have a spot. Did you guys have a spot? Like I had McKeldin Library, fourth floor. You know, it was
always a go-to.
Deuce Central.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Hornbake, I could go. There's certain floors where I knew where I could go. You know, I had all the different bathrooms. Usually they were up like where the grad students were in their little offices.
Yeah.
You could find a nice spot to get
comfortable. I walked into the bathroom here a few days
ago.
Could
go on the main floor. No, of course. So it was like Grand Central. Are you kidding?
And when I walked in, of course, Awad was in there. He's always in the bathroom. But there's somebody in the stall just watching some sort of video, volume up, 9 out of 10.
That's tilting.
I was just like, what's happening here? Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do that, earbuds, headphones.
No, there are guys that do that in the locker room. There are guys that are in the locker room. They're changing. And then they're playing the audio for everyone.
Right.
I don't hear your audio. I don't care what you're listening to. They're actually showering. There's a guy that showers. He puts the phone right outside the shower, and he's playing his music.
Right. You know what he needs in his
tilting.
Shower? Yeah. Hair dryer. So he can stop playing all the music and tilting everybody in the locker room.
All right, let's bang out a couple of these calls real quick. I know we're supposed to talk about the Skins.
It
coaches,
is open line Thursday, by the way.
But you can talk about whatever you want. Let's go to Brian in Manassas. Brian, what's up? Brian, are you there? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, real quick, I'm in pest control 80% of the time when rodents get in your house. If they're an exterior pipe chase or hose bib, most commonly by the AC hose. Mm-hmm. Any gap that's as big as your finger, they're squeezing in.
Yeah.
You fill it up with some plumber's putty.
Yeah. yeah, but how many do you think? Aren't there probably hundreds of those things rolling around?
There are, and they usually travel in like 5 to 7 of them at a time, but you can't ever tell if there's anything in there or not.
So I got 11 in like 5 days.
There's at least 11 more out there.
Just seal it up, bro.
Yeah, my wife says if you put like steel wool in there, that'll keep them away.
Yeah, I don't know.
But won't they find another way in? If you seal that one pipe, they'll find another way in.
That's true.
Also, if you hold the egg a certain way, that sucker's not breaking, and you can't say that that's the case unless you try it. I'm telling you, you hold it a certain way.
Well, she broke that son of a bitch right in front of my face. I mean, it smashed all over the kitchen floor.
Gonna break an egg.
I would think
tip to tip, it's kind of hard or something, right?
Is that what it is?
I don't know, something like that.
It you can squeeze it as hard as you can. Hey, lastly, dogs can't eat grapes. Don't give your
no grapes. No grapes. No raisins.
No chocolate.
No chocolate.
Yeah.
No. But they can eat a raw
egg. No
eggs.
Oh,
they can pummel a raw egg though.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
There you go.
Grapes are kind of overrated. I'm a human and I barely eat grapes. I don't think my dog is gonna like eat a whole bunch of grapes.
I like a nice grape. But like any fruit, it has to be the perfect time of year.
Grape is good like in a fruit salad, but just like picking grapes off the, what's it called, a stem, vine, I don't know, whatever. Just hurting. I need my grapes off of whatever that's called. That
we have some
on.
Fat green grapes that I bought a couple days
green
ago.
Green grapes greater than
I agree.
Red grapes.
I'm more of a
green
grape guy, yeah.
Now, these are a dark grape guy?
Yeah, purple grapes.
Purple?
Greater than any other grape.
Are you a cherry guy? Do you buy the cherries?
I don't get sliced for cherries.
They're very expensive. It's a little too expensive.
Maybe that's why we never had them growing up.
Yeah. I mean, they get expensive. You get a bag of those things, you think, $3.99 a pound, no big deal. It's 6 pounds. You bought $18 worth of cherries.
Yeah, like 2 cherries is like a pound,
that whole
right?
Bag.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God. I did that with the apples the other day. I said, I'll get these sellies. They look pretty good. It was $4.99. It's $4.99 a pound. I got like $18.
Apple.
I said, I don't like apples that much. I knew it was like 6 apples.
You love Honeycrisps?
Yeah.
Macintosh apples.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now to talk some Redskins is Chris Russell. And Chris Russell believes that the exodus of the special teams coordinator, it is the first of a few. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Hello, Rooster. Good morning
so
to you.
So what's up with Ben Kotwicka?
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it? Kotwicka?
Yeah, Kotwicka. He's a good dude, and the Redskins are going to miss him. Listen, the special teams wasn't special, quite honestly, until this year, so fans are not going to go crazy over this. But it is more, I think, a big picture sign of what's been going on and what I've been talking about and what, guys on our staff have been working on. I'll just label it as that. A couple of weeks ago, got a tip on Bill Callahan that he wanted out. And then what was added to that was Jim Tomsula, the very well respected defensive line coach. And Kotwicka was added to that mix as well. So three coaches that wanted out, that were tired of the circus, that were just done. And Kotwicka was granted permission to speak to the Atlanta Falcons, meaning he was under contract because otherwise they wouldn't have had to grant him permission. And he, of course, snapped at that deal, and that's done, and he is gone. And, you know, that is what it is. I mean, it's not like they can't get another special teams coach. Again, they'll find somebody. But it's more the big picture symbolism, especially if Callahan and Tomsula leave. And I think they would be more bummed out if Tomsula left on his own as opposed to Callahan. But all of that connected is just, again, a big picture representation of the real problem there is that coaches see what we in the media and a lot of fans are finally or have seen for a long time.
And that is frustration with the front office, with the organization, not sure. Necessarily frustration with Jay.
I mean, that's all part of it, EB. I mean, I wouldn't say that there's no frustration with Jay, because every assistant coach is going to want to do things differently and do things his way. Like, for instance, I'll just say this with Callahan, right? Callahan keeps these guys on the field. Craig has talked about this a number of times. Callahan keeps these guys on the field 20, 25, 30 minutes longer than, meaning his offensive line guys working on technique, working on different drills, than the rest of the team. Is that Callahan saying these guys need extra work? Or is that Callahan saying, Jay, you're not working these guys hard enough, and I'm going to grind them, and I'm going to work them, and I'm going to work them to the bone? Well, I think it's a little bit more of that, maybe, and whatever the CBA rules, I don't know how that all gets worked into the mix, but you have that to dance around, and Jay always has to manage that, and I get that. But it also could be, we aren't working hard enough. We're not ready. We're not prepared enough. And so you can argue an old school coach like Callahan has very different views and thoughts on new school Jay and, right. I guess club
Jay.
How
long has that been going on where Callahan's been keeping his guys extra?
He's been doing it as long as he's been here, as far as I know. I'm not sure if it's every day, but it's most days, if not every day.
Well, Chris, that points to me that it sounds like Jay Gruden is just, and you've pointed this out over the years, he's running the loosest ship ever. Because if he has control over his staff and what's going on in the field, he's got to pull Callahan aside and say, look, you can't keep grinding these offensive linemen down every single day. Look at all the injuries. And I'm not saying it exclusively is caused by him keeping them out there extra, but just the bad optics as far as it looks like he's losing control of his staff.
Yeah, and maybe Jay entrusted him because he knew what Bill Callahan represented and was when he got here, and that's just the way Bill Callahan does it, and that's just the way they're going to let him rock and roll. But I do know there's a feeling from inside the building, and again, Hoffman was first to mention this, so a tip of the cap to him, but I also heard from somebody the other day, from somebody inside the building, that they heard that there's a problem with, I guess, again, from some people, with the way Callahan has been grinding these guys. And one even quipped, that they wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Scherff's career ends after 6-7 years because of the way Callahan.
Well, how much can they be doing? They can't hit, right? They've never hit less.
No, and that was the thing. I never thought anything that I ever observed after a practice, anything I ever observed didn't appear to be that bad. But, Jay is always talking about getting these guys off their feet. I understand. I mean, you're tired after an hour and a half practice, whatever it is. I get it. I understand. I understand any additional wear and tear could certainly add up. It's like mileage on a tires, right? So I get it. But the bottom line is what are you supposed, I guess here's how I would defend Callahan. What are you supposed to do when you're on sixth string left guard, you know? Yeah. Like, what are you supposed to do? You got to get these guys ready. And I don't know the happy balance. I don't know how really good teams do it. All I know is that Bill Callahan came here with a tremendous reputation, and I doubt that tremendous reputation was built just purely on physical talent, meaning having talent and not work ethic and not practice and not good fundamentals. But there is this divide, I guess. And, you know, what I was just told was if he wasn't Bruce Allen's guy, he would be gone. Now, again, I was also told he wants to be gone on his own. It probably suggests to me, and I don't know this for sure, so I want to be clear, we don't know the Tom Sula and the Callahan contract situations, so that is why they may still wind up being here. Don't know that exactly. But the bottom, the big picture is they, along with Kotwika, three guys, were just exhausted from the politics and the circus.
Do you have any way of knowing if any other guys have been given permission to talk to other teams? Because Kotwika is out there talking to other teams. We didn't know it. Torian Gray is out there talking to other teams. We didn't know it until it's being reported.
Yeah.
I got to assume other guys are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Unfortunately, I'm trying, obviously, to get that information. But, you know, again, it's not only guys that have their contracts expired. It's guys that are so frustrated and fed up that they've asked for permission or that they've received interest from a team. And then their agent asks for permission, which appears to be what happened with Kotwika here. And, you know, I'll just add to this. Kotwika is, you know, one of these, again, no nonsense guys. Guys, remember, he fought in a war, you know, like he's not, you know, he's not one of these guys that are going to come in here and, you know, club DJs and, you know, all this stuff. And I mean, you know, again, the culture is a huge part of the problem. You guys talk about this all the time. Everybody talks about this. There is a disorganization. There is a lack of focus, a lack of commitment, a lack of something that other organizations have. It's not just a lack of talent, and it's not just bad injuries. That, again, that is the misnomer here. If you're it's just about it. No, it's not just about injuries.
What about if they're looking for D coordinators, as these jobs are quickly filling around the league and guys are putting their staffs together? What about the idea of Greg Williams coming back here to D.C.? I would love it.
Yeah.
I know it didn't end well here.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many options he has. Didn't he brag that he had like 15 job offers at one point or something?
He's a big Greg liar.
Greg likes to brag about that.
He likes himself.
Yeah.
Greg likes himself.
But you know
Greg
what?
Williams.
He's still pretty damn good at what he does.
Yes,
and
he is.
He's full of himself. But, you know, I like the way he runs his defense. He runs a lot of corner blitzes, safety blitz. You know what I mean? Guys come from all angles, keeps you guessing. I think we could use that kind of thing. We could use his, you know, kind of his style too. Maybe that fiery style on the sideline.
Yeah. So I'm glad you asked all this because, you know, I mean, obviously that was the first thought when he was freed from Cleveland, and I guess that's not official yet. At least as of last night, it wasn't official because they hadn't even announced on their website and on their social media that Freddie Kitchens was taking over. But that is the full expectation, and I did get a tip from a source late last night that said Greg Williams is on the front burner of discussion at Redskins Park.
He is.
So I don't know where it goes. I don't know if that's just a name that they feel obligated to check out. I don't know. So
that
I want to
move
be clear.
The needle for you. That would make me excited.
Yeah.
As a Skins
fan. And I think that would be now that the ship has sailed on Todd Bowles, right?
Yeah.
That was PR ship number one. In addition to an improvement to the defense, this is PR ship number two, because I think, like you, EB, I think most Redskins fans, if not all Redskins fans, would say, all right, I hate the fact that Bruce Allen is here. 50% of them probably want Jay Gruden gone, but man, at least we've got an aggressive, gung-ho, you know, balls-to-the-wall defensive coordinator like Greg Williams. And obviously that was the philosophy as well with Todd Bowles.
That would have to be the only position available for Greg. Why would he want to come back here if there are other options?
Just money.
Yeah,
because if it's the only possible.
No, but maybe somebody, I'll pay. So let's say you go somewhere else for, I don't know, $3 million and we give you $5 million. I mean, I don't know, whatever it is. Or someone
well,
gives
so
you
here,
million, we give you
three. Here's the theory that I thought of. Maybe it doesn't make sense. I don't know. You guys tell me. Maybe he senses little blood in the water.
Yeah,
you know,
opening.
Like Bowles.
Yeah.
Why would you consider here? Well, you know the problems that are inherent here, but you know Jay Gruden is essentially a lame duck. And that, you know, if you come in and impress one of two things can happen. One, you guys can win enough games where you get an opportunity somewhere else. That's number one. And especially here in Washington, where not that you're completely turning around a horrible unit. Obviously, that's not the case. But you would get probably more credit here, say, than if you went to Chicago and replaced Vic Fangio and ran that defense and won a Super Bowl or got deep into the playoffs or whatever. And on the other hand, obviously, if things don't go great, you're in-house, you're internal already, and you're on the staff for a chance to replace Jay Gruden.
The problem is he's such an alpha male, and it didn't work before, and they damn near like cuckolds here to be, you know, their coaches. You know, you got to be like a beta to coach here almost. Seems like.
Yeah. I mean, but I think they need, you know, look, I have no idea if it's going to work out on both ends. I mean, again, he would have to agree to come here. They would have to want, again, all I know is that they are discussing it. As well they should. I would be really upset if this wasn't even an option. So, again, where it goes from here, I don't know, but that guy, and that alpha male tendency or quality, whatever way you want to describe it, they need that in that building.
They do.
Jay is a good guy. And I think Jay genuinely tries to be a player's coach, player-friendly coach, understanding of players, all that new age.
Yeah.
All, that's great. But this team, this organization needs something.
With Mike, right? With Shanny, and that just went bad.
Isn't Tom Sula
that type?
I think Tom Sula has a lot of those qualities, and he is more vocal and verbal and
but he's not on the same level as Greg Williams.
Exactly. Not a coordinator, and that, you know, and that hurts a little bit. I mean, Minuski is gruff and kind of tough and old school, but he's not a yeller, at least the times that I've been around. Not a yeller, and not that you have to be that way, but what makes Greg, I think, Greg, and what makes him tough to deal with is, again, he doesn't care. You know, he will tell you what he thinks, and he will do what he does, and he will, and by the way, it doesn't always work statistically. I mean, the Browns were like 27. I know it's the Browns, but you know, obviously they took a big step this year. They were like 27th against the run, and I want to say like 29th against the pass. It's not like Greg Williams coming in here being a miracle worker, but I think we would all agree that if this team is ever, meaning the Redskins, going to go anywhere in 2019, it damn well better come from that side of the ball. The defense better be in at minimum top 10 in both of those areas if they have any sort of chance, because it ain't coming from the quarterback, it ain't coming from the wide receivers, right? And who knows about the rest of the mishmash on the offense.
So do you think it's imminent that Tom Sula and Callahan walk?
I don't know, Jason. I mean, I know they want to leave. I know that's something. I just don't know their contract. Nobody's been able to crack that code, so I want to be careful here because, you know, again, Callahan has some protection from Bruce. I just don't know their contract situations. I know the desire is that they are done in terms of the circus.
What about last question for you? You know, you had been hinting that there was maybe some movement to move Bruce out of football operations.
Yeah.
Your colleague Craig Hoffman says that ain't happening. He loves being involved with football, and he's still tight with Dan. And if he has any say, he's never going to let that happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, over the last 8 months, I've heard that this has gone back and forth as recently as, I want to say 3 weeks before the end of the season, that this was still very much up for debate. What I was told the day after the Tennessee game was that Dan had finally come to a decision and finally convinced the co-owners and all that, that Bruce was the right guy to still stay in charge. Now, does that mean that Dan wasn't furious at times and angry at times with Bruce? He absolutely was. Does that mean that Dan didn't have to convince, you know, people like Eric Schaefer to stay patient and calm and just keep committed to the vision? All of that happened. Can it change at any moment? Yeah. Do I expect it to change? No. I mean, for whatever reason, And I guess same thing with Jay. You know, we don't know about Bruce's contract status. That's one other element to this, but they believe that they are doing things right here, as opposed to the way we view it. And the way we view it from the outside is that it's a dysfunctional disaster. And that's part of the problem. They're not willing to admit that they're doing things not the right way, not the way that other great organizations do it, even though they've been mediocre by result on the field.
So our pal Chris Russell, Redskins insider for 106.7 The Fan. Thanks a lot for joining us, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks,
fellas.
Appreciate you.
Coming up next, we open up the phone lines again at 800-636-1067 on an open line Thursday.
Would that excite you?
Yeah, would you like Greg Williams to come back?
If Greg Williams came in here, would that excite you? I actually would be excited. I don't know if that necessarily would translate.
Got a good reputation.
And too many more wins, but it would excite me.
Fish Cake, CB, and JP, that's the foursome on an open line Thursday. You can call us at 800-636-1067. All right, let's go to Brian. The first Aussie Open call, I believe, in the history of the show.
Hopefully the last.
Brian, what's up, buddy? You're on the Jux.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up? Doing great. What's up, man?
Yeah, you guys need some more tennis love, so I'm just going to provide a little bit.
All right.
So I just have a little tidbit about the disparity in the men's and women's game and where the men are right now. So in the past 2 years, there were 8 different women who won a Grand Slam title. Mm-hmm. And there have only been 8 men who have won a Grand Slam title since 2005.
Right. So just a handful of guys are dominating. Right.
Right.
Who's the defending champions?
Although I would say that Serena's pretty much dominated the last 10 to 15 years.
I have no clue.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. But she was out because.
Right.
Right. You know, with the baby and all that.
Federer is the defending men's champion.
Okay.
And Wozniacki is the women.
And Federer, is he even playing this one? He's definitely playing? Because isn't he sitting out like one or two? What does he sit out? The French? Is that what he sits out?
Probably.
Yeah.
I would guess. He's definitely going to play
Wimbledon. Nadal's going to win that every year.
Right.
Yeah, Federer is the 3 seed. Nadal's 2 seed.
Who's your favorite?
And Djokovic must be 1.
Yeah, I think Djokovic is the favorite.
I like the Aussie Open because it's on in the early morning in here. I like to watch live sports when we're in the studio, and I can bet on it.
Yes, that's the key.
You can bet on it.
What about Serena though? What are her because she hasn't won yet since she's been a mother, right?
She lost.
She's been in the finals once or twice, but she hadn't. I don't think she's closed it out.
Yeah. She made 2 finals last year, but. She had that. Yeah, you remember the U.S. Open with Osaka, where she went off on the ref.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
embarrassing.
I mean, you have to say she has a chance just because it's Serena.
Of course, that was embarrassing.
Brian, what kind of grip do you use? Do you use the Western?
Nobody cares. That's the nerdiest question you could come up with.
I can't even think of another grip. Well, give me a nerdier question.
I don't know. Brian, are you just a tennis guy, or?
Yeah. I mean, I just like all sports. I played tennis.
I figure
it's starting next week. Might as well have some shine
on it.
Well,
this would be the first time in 23 years we've ever dedicated a segment to the Australian
Open. Hey, do me a favor.
I think we may have dedicated segments like when we've had guests on.
Yeah.
Like we'd have Gimelstab on, but I don't
know.
You
might be the first guest to ever call in and ask about the Australian Open.
When the pairings come out, text me on the zip line some underdog winners because I'll bet on them. All right?
Yeah, okay. I'll do that.
All right, sweet.
All right. Are we ready to preview the Sony Open
now?
I
can't wait for that Mark Pullman's Dennis Kudla matchup.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it, buddy.
But you guys already did. It's in Wailea. I think it's Wailea. I could be wrong on the pronunciation.
It's a first full field event of 2019.
Correct.
Pulling hard for my man, Patton Kizzire. I'm guessing it's not Tiger Week, so he's not playing.
Tiger's not playing. I don't know. Is he playing Torrey? Is that the first one he's playing?
Torrey's usually the first one.
He's playing Farmers.
You know what? Let me schedule a vacation week, first Tiger week, whatever that might be.
It's not exciting. Like when Tiger won the tour championship, whatever the hell that was, that wasn't exciting.
He doesn't care. You think he cares?
I mean, it was the biggest story in sports that week. Only if it enriches me personally.
But he doesn't care.
No, but the rest, the world cared. The world cared and Cakes didn't care.
That's true.
Yeah, but I'm not. Was it just golf geeks that cared?
I think that's overstated.
Just because all the Tiger,
how many sports fans?
How many people think Denmark cared?
Sports fans, it had to have been the number
Denmark
one story.
Didn't care. Britain didn't care. Yeah, Lars Eller in Denmark didn't care.
It was the biggest sports story at the time, no question. There wasn't a bigger.
But you
sports
know what?
There wasn't a soccer story. There wasn't an NFL story. I don't have it memorized.
I'm going to guess if the NFL was going on, the NFL ratings were higher.
Of course it was. But I'm not. I'm done trying to convince these guys that, you know, a Tiger story is huge.
Yeah.
I know he's not going to watch. I know he doesn't care.
I think that's a big story, but I don't think the world cared.
The world did
think
care.
That's overstating.
There's a very small percentage of the world.
The
that
golf
cared.
World cared.
But the golf world.
The
did.
Sports world cared. Let's just clarify this and be just clear. The sports world cared. It was a massive
sports fans,
story.
The percentage of if you're a sports fan, the percentage of sports fans that really get into golf are very small.
Correct.
I watched
but Tiger's
a few
bigger
minutes.
Than that. Tiger's bigger than golf.
I watched.
He is, but it's still golf. They still don't
right,
care.
Right, but he's correct. Still bigger.
They may
than
pay
the
a
sport.
Little bit more attention because it's Tiger, but they really didn't care.
I watched a few minutes care. Of Return of the Roar. Have you watched the 30 for 30
mm-mm.
on ESPN?
I did watch it.
I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah, it's fine because Tiger sucks as a, like an interviewee.
He doesn't give you anything.
He gives you no emotion. He's a terrible interviewee. I mean, thank God he's exciting on the golf. It's the only place in the world he's exciting.
Yeah, it's the only place you want to watch him.
He's a bore fest when you talk to him. He's a douche. He doesn't treat you well. But
I want to watch
man,
him.
He's fun to watch.
I want to watch him at Augusta, and I want to watch him when he gets pulled over high on drugs. It's the only time to watch.
That's when you're interested.
And everything else, I don't care.
Right. All right, so let's do this MGM story that the guys are swearing is the biggest story in town this morning.
What?
That's what these guys over here are saying. So apparently some chick won a bunch of money in one of the slots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're saying several thousand dollars.
Cynthia right. Obie. Is
they're not
I'm going to put it at about seven. I'm going to guess $7,000 or $8,000.
All right.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
It's not, I think it's under 10K.
Yeah.
You get that sense.
Yeah.
Not like it's $100,000 or anything. So mm-hmm. she wins the money, and apparently when they pay it out, I guess once you pass a certain threshold, they have to report some of it.
Correct.
Yeah, you gotta pay taxes on it.
And somehow they jotted her Social Security number down wrong.
Off by one number.
By one number. And so when they plugged it in, it wasn't her fault, it was mm-hmm. their fault.
Yep.
When they plugged the numbers in, they shipped the money off to a different person, and that different person apparently owed a bunch of, was it child support or something?
Yeah, back mm-hmm. child support. Money was immediately seized by
the state. They seized the money, and then and then she got nothing.
She got nothing.
She got
a $200 in free play and a couple of drink vouchers.
Right.
No, that's what she got.
And, of course, now I think, is she threatening a lawsuit? She needs to get all her money back. Look, I love the MGM, but... That wasn't her fault.
They need to stroke her check.
They need to write her a check.
National Harbor, they're probably going to make her whole. Because they realize,
you
know what, let's kill the bad publicity, stroke her the check, it's okay. We just took an L. Sometimes you take L's in life.
And if they have to pay her $7,000 or $8,000, that's not a lot of money.
It's okay. They'll be all right.
Nothing.
Valdez says it's probably over $10,000 because
what's the threshold?
Yeah, because if
that is the threshold?
Yeah, if she's filling out tax forms... Because I'm assuming she's giving her Social Security number for tax purposes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably over $10,000.
Maybe it is.
I think she'll get it.
Maybe it's 15.
The money went to the state of Maryland. Instead of the money going to her, it went to the state of Maryland because
yeah, but they're not going to give it
number,
back.
It'll come back eventually because whoever the money they thought was going to go for child support, right? And so they thought that they were taking the earnings from
right. A different
somebody
person.
Who owed in child support.
Right.
Well, that money is not going to just stay there. It's going to come back.
Well, if it's true, fine.
That's what I asked.
If it's true, fine.
It might
Cakes
take
is
a
telling
while.
Me that's not true.
I'm sure I know.
He doesn't know.
That's what he said.
But he doesn't know, though.
It doesn't mean it's right.
It may come back from the
just
state.
Just because I said something clearly doesn't
it
mean it's right.
It may come back from the state, or MGM just cuts her a check for $15,000, whatever
she's
it is.
Got it. All I know is she gets her money.
All right.
The woman said.
She's got to.
All my daughters are grown, and I've never paid child support. So eventually she'll get that money back. It's just kind of a pain in the ass she's going to have to go through. And who knows if the government's open right now. Like
your money. You paid for
longer.
Right. All right. I hope you're right. Because it's completely unfair.
Yeah, they botched
They
it.
Made sort of their own clerical error, and then they're claiming that they don't have to pay her.
By the way, I haven't followed the government shutdown that much, and it doesn't necessarily affect us right now. But my ears did kind of perk up because I think they voted on opening some parts of the government yesterday.
Right.
I'm not sure if it passed. I think it may have passed, but of course, the president could end up vetoing it. But it was to open up the part of the government where you get your tax returns back. I think that's important.
Well, that is pretty important. Need to get those returns shipped back to you.
immediately.
It's getting close.
Jason probably has already filed and got his money back.
You already, no way.
No.
I don't think I meet with Richard Simmons, our guy, until like late February.
Yeah, I'm always a
usually
February guy.
February or March. Yeah, you got to get your W-2s back. You got to get all that stuff.
I don't have
you
any of that
get
stuff
it for
yet.
Months.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I usually get it by end of January.
Do you? Is there
yeah,
like
usually.
Some
so
sort
they
of
actually
law?
Send it to you? Here, so your checks you have to come here to get.
Yeah, they'll send it to him in the mail.
That yeah. What are you going to do? Direct deposit this week? Are you going to fill out the paperwork?
We'll see if I get around to it.
He's already meeting up with Drab for his next check.
Why don't you just fill out the paperwork and be done with it and never, ever, ever, ever have to deal with this ever again?
Because he likes going
Richie.
To the bank.
I'm going to give you a similar situation
I've just got to do it.
I want to do the TSA pre-check thing, right? Mm-hmm. And my wife just did it. And I don't know what it is. I think, is it like
$17
a year? It's 80 bucks
for 5 years. I think it's 80 bucks for 5 years, yeah. Something like that, right? So my wife just did it. And she did it for her and my daughter, who'll be traveling all over the country for volleyball. And, you know, I probably have 3 or 4 trips a year where I'll fly. Not a lot. Not a frequent flyer. But
about to go to West Palm in a couple months, Ricky.
Right. But I would like to go through the TSA pre-check. The problem is I had to get off my ass. And I think for locally, it's like a Staples or something. You got to go to this local Staples and, I don't know, they ask you a few questions, take your picture, whatever they do.
Yeah.
And then you find out, you know, a week later.
I didn't even know Staples still exists.
Staples are still out there.
Yeah, apparently
Office
they do.
Depot's still out there.
Apparently they do. But I simply am too lazy to go to Staples and make the. You have to make an appointment, and then I have to put it on my calendar, and that's
like
go.
Applying like, for a passport.
Yeah,
same
like
sort of
I have
deal.
To show up at like 3:30
yeah,
or something.
But you might be able to make an appointment for a half hour from when you make the call.
I don't
like
think
I
so.
Like I had to help my mom and take her computer to get fixed. I called. The appointment was for literally 30 minutes later. I showed up at Best Buy. Boom.
Well, that's convenient. My wife had to make an appointment. It was later in the week, and that just seems like a
so
big
So are you
to
saying
do.
You're going to do it?
I'm going to do it. Just don't know when.
Right.
Putting it off.
Exactly.
I'm putting it off. Yes. You've been putting off direct
because
deposit
you have
for a decade.
Years. For 20 years.
You have another dentist appointment today, so how could you...
Literally.
How could you do your Staples appointment when you have another dentist
I
appointment?
I had a crown fall off while I was eating chocolate on Christmas Eve.
Can you tell?
That's the worst time ever to have a dental crisis.
How many times
crisis?
That happened? It's happened at least 10 times.
No, I had a tooth disintegrate when I ate Bonnie Bernstein's brownie
candy.
Or whatever she gave us.
No, the Epiphany chocolates.
Yeah.
You didn't have a Bonnie Bernstein
dude,
brownie.
Chocolate pummels my teeth.
I think I still have the gift card.
I literally had a tooth
for a
disintegrate.
Company that I'm sure is out of business.
Exactly.
And then I had a piece of chocolate on Christmas Eve and... All of a sudden, I feel this chunk, and I go, oh, no, that's not good.
Can you tally how many times you go to the dentist this year? I mean, it's unbelievable how many times you go to the dentist.
Yeah.
Look right?
Look what I have.
Wouldn't you say
I
he goes to the dentist once a month?
No.
Easy.
No, I
try not
I don't
to.
Think so. I don't.
It's close.
I would say six times a year.
2019 just started. Do you think you'll go to the dentist? What's the over-under? Is it?
3.
No, maybe 4.
I'll take it
over.
I'll go way over. I'm going to liquidate everything and bet the
way
over.
Over.
Right.
You find
I
the lines
much,
for
once
that.
I get this one back, I think I could salvage it. Look at
everybody
got.
Gets checkups.
Oh, you have your crown.
In a look. Ziploc bag?
Well, yeah,
like
because
lit?
I think you can put it back on. Here's my silly right here.
Oh.
I salvaged it. As I was about to eat it, I pulled it out.
Did they tell you to bring it in?
Yeah, they said bring it in. I might be able to. Hold these on. Things are like a couple G's.
Put it on this piece of paper for me. This thing has it in your mouth.
Well, the paper's white.
Oh, that
they didn't
is.
Even do a white crown. You got an off-white crown.
So gross.
It's tooth colored.
Definitely stained.
That's gross.
Isn't it?
This one's on. About
so
a year
I might throw up.
Wait a second. That thing is worth... several $1,000s.
I think these things are. Yes, it's a
dentist, man. They
I tell all
got
my
a good
kids,
scam.
Be a dentist. Why? Just be a dentist.
My son just had his 4 wisdom teeth extracted a couple days ago. 4. It took roughly 35 minutes. The bill? What do you think the bill was? Now,
1200?
Hopefully Aircom's dental.
Oh, they don't take
the majority
care of much
of
at
it.
All. No.
Hopefully
keep
they cover
that.
A decent chunk. Half?
I don't think so.
25%?
I don't think so.
What do you think it costs to yank 4 teeth
sure
out of my son's
well,
mouth?
My daughter
oh, I know
just
how
had
much it.
Isn't it around
$1,200? No, it's more than
it's that.
Well,
maybe
I
it depends
no
on the
$2,000.
Dentist.
$2,000.
$2,100.
Yeah. You
know 500
or 40 minutes of work.
You might want to shop around for a cheaper dentist.
What's well, the insurance? I mean, is the insurance going to cover any of it?
That's what I was just saying.
I don't think it covers that much.
I don't know.
It's got to cover 50% of it.
I would hope.
Keep thinking that.
Well, then, my kid has to get them out, too. He's gotta get
Delta
4 out.
Dental's silly.
Dude, do what I
think
do.
Delta
bury your head in the sand and don't look. This is the only way to live.
I know. Just I have to.
Bury your head in
the sand. I can't help it.
I just bury my head. I don't know.
I can't help it.
I mean, I hope Delta Dental right there. Roll the idea. I hope that's money. I hope that's good.
It's not that money.
I hope it's silly.
Yeah.
This is an important card, but this is a more important card.
Yeah, the
M-Life card.
For the MGM brand.
Based on the number, should you have a fancier one?
I should. I probably should. I mean, I am the poker ambassador.
Like, I feel like I have that same one.
You do
I
have
never
the same
play.
One. I am at the lowest tier.
Right.
I need to be on a higher tier.
Should you be higher than Sapphire?
You would think. Apparently, I have no clout whatsoever.
Put your card down before people start stealing all your account numbers and everything. Did you see the story that went viral of the guy that was with the hot Instagram model and he had his credit
card
out?
Big millionaire.
And the whole country went in there and they just hoarded his debit card?
What, are they going to take my comp from Voltaggio Brothers? Okay, if that happens, I would be a little bit salty, but I'd get another one.
It's a nice spot.
I'd be okay.
We just got Vic from Akakeek's book.
We did.
From Secrets with Men to Romance with Him.
Yes.
By Victor Bell.
He sent us all copies.
And there's
a picture
of Victor in the back.
There is.
I was
not there.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
But he on the air said he didn't want to say his name. He had said that before.
Oh, okay. All right. It's right in the book. But okay.
I know. I'm honoring him.
I get it. Lieutenant Duquesne. He played football. Yeah, played football. Graduated from Duquesne in 2008.
Now, this is going to be a tough book to read because it has homework within the book.
Nuh-uh.
At the end of each chapter, there's a question.
Well, that's going to... I can't read it then. I can't complete the homework.
In fact, after this chapter, it says challenging activity.
Yeah,
what about do a phone call less than 3 minutes?
It's a good job.
So I don't understand. He doesn't want his name out there, but he wants people to buy his book.
I don't understand.
Remember when we asked him that, he said, you know, he didn't want, you know, all that stuff on the air, but he wrote a book, but he didn't want it on the air.
The book.
He didn't want it on the air.
Hey, he should have just said Vic from Akakeek on instead of his last name.
You're probably right.
That book's going to be about linebackers and their eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping your eyes up.
Thank you, listener X.
By the way, Jason, did you hear yesterday when we had Adam on and we were actually trying to promote him. We were helping him.
Yeah, yeah. And he started to Joan on Big Fat Winner.
Well, I guess. Yeah. We were trying to...
I think we should play the audio.
We were trying to promote his dumb podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, he started lashing out at you. I don't know why.
I have like three separate clips.
That's just what he does. It's his nature.
He's a lasher.
Yeah.
JP's killing my podcast. I don't understand when all you do is put over Lurch's podcast.
How did I kill your podcast?
I promise that my podcast is 10 times better.
I killed it. JP didn't kill it.
Did I kill it?
So in that clip, he said his podcast is 10 times better.
Yeah. Okay.
I just know that I provide a better podcast than Jason Bishop.
That's incorrect.
And all you guys do is talk about his big effing
winner.
What do you
mean? Tom Bailey. What do you mean you do a better podcast?
I'm saying we have more entertaining content. We have better guests.
Wrong.
But we don't have any guests, so.
Right.
What is Crash Into Net?
That's opinion.
I'd like to go back.
It's a radio show. That's what it is. That's what Crash Into Net is.
Yeah. Tom, what are the numbers? I mean, I don't want to expose, like, Lurch, because I have no idea.
No.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Versus
it's about 15,000 to 1,000, if I recall.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
15 to 1?
It's a big difference.
So he sent me a text yesterday. He goes, before you hear it from someone else, I wasn't joning on your podcast. Well, it sounds like you were.
He said his more entertaining, has better guests.
I just said that. Well, he definitely has better guests because I had zero guests.
10 times better.
Because I just said that mine was better. Okay, well, isn't that joning on mine?
Pretty much, yeah.
I have one more clip, too.
Oh, okay.
But I'm telling you that I know for a fact I do a better podcast than Jason Bishop.
All right.
That's why I wish he was better.
For a fact.
What did I just tell him?
I believe you told him not to eat the hot dog.
Yeah. Don't go scorched earth, and he just starts.
I mean, Jason might be able to help you someday, and you're trashing his podcast.
I'm not trashing it. I think he does a great podcast. But I just know it's not as good.
He's all over the place.
He's a mess.
No, he's saying yours is great, but his is greater.
Right. Whatever.
It's called backpedaling.
He tried to backpedal at the end.
Look, Big Fat Winners is a very niche-heavy show. I mean, if you're not a sports bettor, you would have no interest in it. I mean, there's a little bit of personal entertainment stuff, but not much.
Why would you have any interest in his podcast?
I wouldn't. But that's fine. You know, he thinks he has a better podcast than me.
By the way, speaking of your podcast, did I see the nugget that is Skippy canceling his trip east?
He canceled his trip.
He's canceling.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a surprise. He kind of has a track record of canceling things.
His favorite senator is Jeff Flake.
Now, he claims that there's a legitimate reason. Senator, so he claims it's a work thing. It's a work conflict.
Oh, okay.
It's something that just came up.
So how does that work? Does he get a full refund on his ticket, or he just has
a
year?
He insured the ticket.
Smart. So he always knows he's going to cancel.
Calling a shot.
Yeah. When you insure your ticket, you're calling
your shot. Nobody
usually
insures a ticket.
Yeah.
Usually $40 for a...
I just know when Jason says he claims,
you don't 100%... If you 100% believe your friend, you would say he has a work thing. Instead, you said he claims he has a work thing.
Because, there's always a little bit of doubt.
Because he's done this before.
You're skeptical.
I mean, this is the same guy who backed out of... He was going to be a groomsman in our buddy's wedding, and he backed out last minute.
Which funny.
My buddy Joel, who got married in Grand Rapids, Michigan, mm-hmm. 20 years ago.
Picked a silly spot.
I know. Well, his wife was from Grand Rapids.
I'm just joking.
I was in the wedding. Skippy was in the wedding.
Yeah.
And... In fact, you guys were involved. He wanted to go to spring break with you knuckleheads instead of going to Joel's wedding.
And he did.
He drove down with you.
We had a great time. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Didn't his brother live in Clearwater?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are you surprised he backed out of this trip?
No, of course not.
Now, he did tell me the story, and I believe it. It's a work conflict that just came up. But I was looking forward to him coming. We're going to go to Chucktown on Saturday. And
now your weekend's pummeled.
Yeah, well, we'll have to reschedule.
You can still go to Hollywood Casino. One of the sports books.
Although the weather is supposed to be a little dicey on Saturday night.
May snow.
Correct. Into Sunday. So I may just...
I think that would stop you from driving to a casino / sports book. There's a little bit of snow on the ground.
Well, I wasn't going to drive. I was going to get chariots.
Oh, okay.
I was going to call Courtney West.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, you're going to do a whole thing?
Oh, a whole
thing. That means you're going to go get hammered.
Well, I was going to have cocktails. I was going to play blackjack. We're going to watch the games.
I mean, he ruined your weekend.
Yeah, pummeled it. Yeah.
Torpedoed it.
That's why I'm a little bit bitter at him. Well, it is what it is. So he said, "Yeah, I'll just reschedule." I said, "Well, my weekends are getting full." So
that's what you said.
That was your response.
Yeah, because that was my way of showing him I'm pissed.
Right.
Good. But that's fine.
You guys will kiss and make up.
Yeah, exactly.
Been one of 900 times.
So I wanted to bring up this story, which Ben just posted at thefandc.com. The headline is "All Signs Pointing Towards Harper Staying with the Nationals." Actually, the headline is "Build a momentum building for Harper to stay."
Mm-hmm. Which would be surprising.
The article says, "Momentum building toward Harper staying with the Washington Nationals," a source told MLB.com's Mark Bizand. "It's heating up," the source told Bizand about the race to sign the 26-year-old slugger. "This week, the Phillies are expected to meet Harper and his agent, Scott Boras, in Vegas. In addition to the Nats and Phillies, Harper suitors include the White Sox and the Dodgers, though reports suggest Los Angeles' interest would be in a shorter deal." Former Nationals GM Jim Bowden reported Friday the Nationals' last offer to Harper was much more than the $300 million being reported by the media.
There's just not that huge market out there with all these. There's not five or six teams willing to pay him 10 years,
they
$400
million. They overestimated what the market would be.
He's getting the Nats to budge off their $300 million.
According to a source, the increased offer put the Nats in the pole position to land him.
If that's the biggest offer, which I would believe it is.
Has it been reported what the latest offer is?
The first offer was 10 years and 30, right?
I just heard that they upped it. I don't know what that means.
I need to know what the latest offer
is. Well, here's what you know it's got to be. It's got to beat the 325 that Giancarlo got, right? Because that's what Boras has got in his head.
Or maybe it's 326. You know what I mean?
They now 330. Now, was Stanton's deal, was that a 12-year deal
or 13-year deal?
It was 13.
Okay.
It's a 13-year.
So would that mean you trade away?
I don't know.
You have to trade somebody.
Would you trade away Eaton?
Yeah, I think you'd probably trade away Eaton.
Probably.
I think the Dodgers and Soto.
I don't put the Phillies in the mix because you think he really wants to play in Philly?
I don't know.
I don't see Bryce Harper wanting to play in Philadelphia.
I'm just going to... Didn't Jason Worth hype up Philly?
I'm sure he...
It
just doesn't seem like a fit. I mean, they could use him. They need a power-hitting outfielder, but I just don't see him playing in Philly. So I would say it comes down to the Dodgers. And remember,
the Dodgers only want to give him 5 years, right?
They don't want to do the 10-year.
Yeah, I heard 5 years.
Well, you play now 5 years.
Now I'm obsessed with finding
one.
Out what that number is. I need to know.
What number?
The latest offer.
Well, I don't think it's that big a deal, honestly. If they give,
assume,
if they've offered him 300 to start, the dad is swooping in. He's sweetening the pot. We have reason to believe that the Mark is not even interested, really, beyond what he said on the air. He's really not interested in going a dollar more. But the dad is swooping in and going to close this deal above him.
All right, I'm going to guess at the number. 10 years.
$335 million.
I like
That's clearly a guess. That's,
I like it.
That's
though.
Me just.
It's a ballpark. It's a good ballpark.
Throwing a dart.
It doesn't matter. But the bottom line is, it's the biggest offer out there.
Yeah.
Right now, currently.
Well, we don't
let's
know.
See,
what
let's
the
see
Phillies
what. Let's see what Philly does. You're right. They're going to meet Saturday. If they come in and they can go over top of 330, then maybe they get him. But I just don't see him signing with Philly.
It's got a couple weeks still, right? Pitchers and catchers report usually beginning of February.
I guess you got it's his... right around the corner.
It's coming.
You would think he would do it a few weeks before, especially if he's going to move to a new spot, got to find a new spot to live.
Where? When are we going again?
March, early March.
March 4, 5, 6.
So we got about another 6 or 7 weeks?
Something like that, yeah.
I drove right by the hotel, the Hilton, that we stayed at, you know, last week.
And that's where we're staying, right?
I don't know. I assume are we staying there again?
Driving.
Oh, you drove right by it.
Yeah,
when you were in Jupiter. Okay.
Same hotel.
That's a great hotel.
It's a nice spot.
It's a nice spot.
I like that hotel.
That area is just so silly. We didn't even go to the beach area, you know, which is just another mile or two down the road or less.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was too busy going to the dog track / poker room.
Are you going to do that again? We have a very small window of
very
time.
Very small, but I crammed it into that small window last time.
He finds a way.
I think I may bypass that and try to meet up with Dave Richer because I felt bad about blowing him off last year.
You're going to meet him
lives
what? Like
close.
For beers? Or
just meet up for like dinner or something.
He likes to play poker. Meet him at the card
He does
room.
Like to play poker.
That's
that is true.
You kill
or
two
you
birds.
Tell him to meet us. Like we did that dinner.
Yeah, but I don't want to make him drive like an hour plus just to come out and meet us. Like
Why?
Maybe we meet in the middle somewhere. I don't know.
You could do that. You don't have to be so nice to me. You make it. Meet him at the card room. That's
meet him at the woods.
Could do that.
Could meet him at the woods.
It's a very degenerate thing to do, to meet up with a guy at a Florida card room.
Tell him.
Where you're by far the youngest person.
It's a degenerate thing to do. It's also a fun thing to
do. Tell him to drive to the woods, and you'll buy him dinner.
Could do that.
There you go.
No, better drive to the woods, and Entercom will buy him dinner.
Do you want to go again, Jason? Do you want to go back to the woods?
Yeah, I want to go to the woods.
All right. It'll be my third time in 12 months.
I'm in. I like the woods.
You guys have your own booth there now? You guys go so much?
Sit right there at the bar.
It's a nice spot. I'm telling you.
Nice pictures of the bar.
Is there our own mug?
Yeah.
You have like a Fridays
like a
or
turtle?
Something? Yeah.
No. Such a small world. We went to the woods, and then we met a guy who, wasn't he from the D.C. area but moved to Florida?
Yeah, he knew that we were going to go. So
yeah, so he's there.
He was like hanging out.
He's stalking us.
Very good.
It'll probably happen
again. We'll probably meet him again. We'll share chicken wings again.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.